All right, good morning. I want to welcome you to Mount Olive. Thank you, team, for leading us so well in singing and praise of our Lord already this morning. If you're brand new with us, this is your first Sunday. My name is Alvin. I'm one of the pastors here. But today is a special Sunday, and you're in for a treat because today we have Teen Challenge with us. And Teen Challenge is a ministry you're going to hear a lot more about, so I won't give it all away, but it's a ministry that we have partnered with as a church, and I know many of you individually have partnered with this ministry as well, and so we're just so excited to have Dwight and John with us, and we're going to be hearing their stories, and then also Jesse, the team lead. And Jesse, why don't I invite you up, and we will... I'd like to just pray with you before we get started. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for the ministry of Teen Challenge and the work that you do in the lives of each one of us. And we have all experienced, if we're honest with ourselves, and we have all experienced deep, deep need. And you are the God who comes and helps us in our deep need. And so today as we hear stories, may it point to the story of the cross, of what Jesus did for us, and also point to what you are doing in us by bringing us into your family and allowing us to walk in relationship with you through the person of Jesus. So I just lift up Jesse to you. I lift up the guys as they share. May you speak through them, through the work you've done in them to each one of us. And we just invite your spirit here to come and move in the way that you see fit for the honor and glory of Jesus. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. Just curious how many of you have heard of Teen Challenge before? Well, that's crazy. Okay, cool. I didn't know about it much before I came into the program, so yeah, I was lost into addiction for 18 years of my life. The last 15 was IV drug use, and now I just graduated Teen Challenge a month ago, and I'm an outreach leader and in full-time school right now to work in addictions and mental health, so I'm really grateful and honored to be here and part of your service and just amazed at what God is doing. Teen Challenge was founded in 1960 by Pastor David Wilkerson to help street gang youth in New York City, in Canada. In Canada, our core mission is to help men and women struggling with substance abuse. We are a 12-month God-centered residential program serving men and women between 18 and 65. There are 9 men and women centers across Canada under the Teen Challenge Canada organization. The Canadian Mental Health Association estimates nearly 6 million Canadians will meet the criteria for addiction in their lifetime. In 2017, substance abuse cost $46 billion across Canada. And in 2014, this cost Alberta $5.5 billion. So for the first 10 months in 2020, Alberta reported 904 opioid-related deaths. That's almost 3 lives being lost every day in those 10 months. These are people of all ages from all walks of life. The need to help them and get out of addiction is very great. We have not come across any physical, medical, or psychological cure for addiction. The narcotics, especially the synthetic ones, are so powerful. A few grains of pure fentanyl will kill an adult. People get addicted because of the lifestyle they chose, or they want to fill voids in their hearts, to heal pains and wounds they've experienced, and to get away from unresolved problems. Drugs and alcohol can numb a person for a while, but it will never solve his or her problems. At Teen Challenge, we believe the only way to get away from addictions is a saving grace of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can fill our voids and heal our pains. That is what Teen Challenge strives to do, to show our clients what Jesus did for us, so that they can realize the healing and transformation through Jesus Christ that brings freedom from addiction. This is why I volunteer here. Ephesians 4 says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Truly righteous and holy." We are committed to provide a safe environment to mentor our clients to help them become disciples of Jesus. Clients are required to give up the electronic communication devices such as cell phones and internet while they enroll and live in our center, with only supervised contact for the whole 12 months of the program. When a client graduates from our program, he or she would have written a study report on every chapter of a number of New Testament books and memorized many scriptures. He or she would also have written book reports on a number of Christian books and completed homework on many topical studies. This is accomplished through classes along with self-paced studies throughout the year. Each morning, the client starts with personal devotions, followed by breakfast, chapel, and then classroom sessions. Weekday afternoons are occupied by physical work assignments to learn work ethics and teamwork. Time is allotted each day for self-paced studies. Our center is self-sufficient as the clients look after all the yard and domestic chores, like the cleaning, laundry, cooking, and all like the repairs that need to be done. This helps to teach them how to be responsible and develops character. Most clients would attest to the love they receive from the staff and the client body. I know that's the first thing I encountered when I got into Teen Challenge, because I was just terrified. I just felt like a peace come over me and so much love from all the staff when I first got there. I was like, okay, God, like, you're in this place and I'll stick it out and try and make it. Each class becomes a tight-knit community that prays for one another and encourages and corrects each other. We rejoice when a client graduates successfully as a follower of Jesus Christ, forsaking their former ways. For many years, the Teen Challenge Alberta campus in Prittis consisted of an old ranch house that cramped 12 students, a pretty small number for the need in Alberta. After many years of seeking approval, and because of the generosity of many church partners, we have now moved into our new facility, which accommodates up to 30 clients. So I'm going to invite one of the students up to share their testimony. His name is Dwight. Awesome man of God, and I've seen so much progress in him since he started, and it's just really cool to see his journey so far. So here's his story.
There's a lot more of you this time. Like I said, I'm only up here if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. I would have no business being up here telling a story. It's only because I'm forgiven. My name is Dwight. I was born July 28, 1980 in Shaunavon, Saskatchewan. At 9 months old, I had a brain injury that left me kind of, well, with an IQ of 60, so they say. I was a pretty good scammer throughout my days, but my parents separated in 1982 when I was only 2 years old. I remember at the age of four, my mom left my dad, and it really caused me a lot of separation anxiety and PTSD and depression, and it really messed me up. I am the oldest out of all my siblings. I have two sisters, two brothers, and my story takes a twist when, you know, my father abused me mentally, abused me physically, emotionally, and mentally, and I believe deep down in my heart and soul that the abuse that I suffered is the root cause of my addiction. I get my PTSD, depression, anxiety, from like the abuse, and that's kind of what started my addiction. I always grew up feeling out of place, that I never fit in with people. I didn't know how to relate with people. Like my childhood, I believe, wasn't, I don't know, I did, I had trouble, like, I didn't enjoy it. I had lots of trauma, and, you know, it just caused me, it's just painful memories. When I was 13 years old, I discovered cigarettes, and I thought it was cool to smoke, but, you know, looking back, or moving ahead 30 years later, no, it wasn't so cool. It just became more of a bad habit as the years went by, and it wasn't until I was in Teen Challenge that I was able to break that habit. Started once again, I started drinking when I was 14, thinking, oh, I want to fit in with the older crowd, I want to be cool. And even the first time I got drunk, I got out of hand, and, you know, it turned into chaos. I come from three generations of alcoholism. My grandpa and my uncles were all alcoholics. I didn't really know back then what I know now. In school, I liked to play sports, and, you know, I graduated in 99. And I wasn't really into drinking or any of that. It was June 28, 1995 that I found Jesus for the first time. I lived for God throughout high school. Then I thought life was good in 99 after high school grad. I had fallen into drinking again, and it started to get worse. Jesus was not happy, so he called me to go to Bible school, and that was a good spiritual experience. Through my 20s, I was just trying to make it through life, you know, make a little money here and there. Then, like, when I was 27, My grandpa, he died of lung cancer, and that took a lot out of me. I was just like, God, how could you allow this to happen? And I was angry with God. I hated God after this happened. And I became a full-blown alcoholic. And I was so angry that from 27 to 30 was a blackout. I don't remember things that happened in those 3 years. Years later, I hear things that I've done that I didn't even remember. And it was actually quite embarrassing. Then when I was 30, I went to rehab in Saskatoon for the first time for 28 days. So yeah, it was pretty much like a 28-day holiday. There was no structure there, and it kept me sober for a year. Then I fell off the wagon. Then you think, as my 30s get going, I get married, I have a couple kids. You think, that would be enough to smarten you up. But no, I was a selfish individual. I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And nobody would tell me different. I chose drinking over my kids, over my now ex-wife. Summer 2017, I filed divorce against her just because I wanted to go out and, wreak havoc in the world. And I did that. And went, did lots of drinking and lusting after the world in 2018. My mom had a massive heart attack and died, and there God angered me again. I didn't know what to think. Plus, my physical health was getting worse. In 2020, I moved to Medicine Hat from Edmonton. I attended NA recovery meetings and was clean for almost 2 years. In 2022, I started seeing this gal, and we drank together. It seemed like a good time. Then I met her brothers, and that's where I met the devil. I was introduced to crystal meth, and and that was a really bad demon. I've had countless bad experiences with meth. And I thought, this is bad. We got to try something. Try something a little different. This drug ain't working. So then I thought, my drug dealer was over visiting me one day, and I asked her, what is that you're smoking? And she says, crack cocaine. I thought, let's try that. So I had a blast of crack, and I was instantly hooked, and I lost everything. I drained my bank account. I lost everything to the point of getting so desperate for it that I sold my TV and couches, and I sold everything just to chase it. And it was a love-hate relationship for years, and you know, sometimes I still struggle with old memories, and old memories, and I'm still healing. Now I will shift over to 2023. Crack had taken me into rehab at Poundmaker's Lodge. I was there for 42 days, and I had graduated from there. And I told myself that I had gone to Poundmaker's for a drug addiction, and I thought, well, I can probably handle booze, being the good addict that I am. I could handle drinking. Well, no. First day out of rehab, I had gotten drunk, and it lasted for a month. Then I picked up some assault charges. Then I ended up homeless in Edmonton, down by the Hope Mission and Herb Jameson Center. And I was homeless, and I ended up back on the street. With doing crack and meth again, and I was going all over just trying to find drugs. I really didn't like it. I was really getting tired, so I would tell people like a false suicide attempts just to get admitted into the hospital so I could get rest. I was that tired. I was in fight or flight mode. I was ashamed of myself, what I had become. So I meet this guy on the street, and he's like, oh, here, try this. And it was fentanyl. And I tried fentanyl, and I nearly died, nearly overdosed. I was scared. I thought, is this how it's going to end up? Just, is life over? But by the grace of God, people finally found me. My Medicine Hat friends finally found me, and my sister, and you know, they had me they found me, put me up in a hotel room for a couple weeks, rested until court. But I was so beaten and broke up that I got on my knees and accepted Jesus. I said, okay, I had enough. Enough was enough. And then that was in November of last year, and January 17th, I entered Teen Challenge, and I'm now going on month six, so thanks for listening to my story.
Yeah, this morning was my first time actually hearing Dwight's testimony, and it's really powerful. He was really rough around the edges when he came in there, and just to see the changes happening in him so far has been really incredible. there's so many stories like that too, just guy after guy after guy just coming to that point of hopelessness and despair and finding their way to Teen Challenge, which I know now is God bringing us there because we're chosen to be there. It's the way I see it now. Just everything that has to happen in order for us to be there. It's very amazing. We do outreaches in churches around the province for two reasons. We want to get the word out. If you know anyone who is dealing with addiction, please come and see us at the table at the back, and we would love to get you more information about our program. So this is really amazing. Teen Challenge is self-funded. We do not receive government funding, so that our focus on Jesus Christ is not diminished. Outreaches like this one, is one of the ways we generate financial support for our program. We only ask each client to try and raise $1,000 to enter our program. The remainder of the program costs are raised via outreaches like this in the local church. This covers room and board for the year, all the study materials, and 24/7 staffing. It's actually really cool at, I forget the exact number, but like I think like 50% of the staff in the center here is like graduates of the program. And it's just amazing to see like that there's hope when we come in. Like, oh man, hearing their stories and just seeing the transformation in them, and it's like, oh, okay. You can help men in. Okay, one second. Okay, so you can help men and women seeking transformation from a life of addiction by becoming a sponsor in what we call the journey. Simply fill out the form in the journey pamphlet and select a one-time, monthly, or yearly donation and the payment method that suits you. We do have a credit card machine for those who choose that method of payment. Please bring your completed form to our table after the service. So now I'm going to introduce you guys to another student here, John. John has been almost here like a full year, like 11 months. And it's been awesome being part of his journey. Just awesome all around guy. Seeing him grow has just been amazing. So here's his story.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for coming. It's not easy for me to be up here, but the one verse, there's a memory verse that we go through Teen Challenge, and it's Philippians 1:6. Being confident in this very thing, that he that put a good work in you will complete it or perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So this has given me the confidence. I've always been a bit of an introvert, never really been able to, you know, always get confused or shy. So to have this confidence in me to share a testimony that I've never thought I would actually do this in my entire life, but here I am. I was born 44 years ago, turning 45 this July. So it's one of those things, growing up, Mennonite background, so I can still speak Low German. When you lute on, kevin bit a dich fatan. But other than that, you know, growing up, I was always loved, you know, as a family with five sisters and two brothers. So I always kind of, you know, being that introvert, always kind of had that presence that there was love nearby, even though it wasn't shown. You know, we did celebrate birthdays and Christmas time, which was always a great time. You know, everyone likes presents, right? But growing up, it was always, you know, when you don't really feel that appreciation or get shown that appreciation, you always kind of feel like a little abandoned or maybe unworthy. I've always felt that I was never good enough until, I guess, you know, after I was graduated, grade 9, I never did go to high school, but was able to get into work, into the working force. But when I was after graduation, just the whole physical work, you know, just kind of not really doing a whole lot, and being a bit of a sweet tooth. I love sweets. Sugar is another one of those things that we might have to fall under the addiction category, but it's one of those things that always got me going and seemed like was always tastes good. You know, sugar's always good. But when I was 15, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So, yeah, I guess overconsumption can, you know, it's not technically, you know, doctors will never say that you can actually overload the overload the system, but that is my theory. Never really had a background with that. Never to a point where it was type 1 related. I got family all over the world almost, you know, from Mexico to Belize to all the way in Bolivia. I still have a lot of cousins I've actually visited. They're still riding around horse and buggy. So it's amazing on how we can actually go from point A to point B and, you know, live a different life. But, you know, from after 15 years old, getting into the workforce and working for an auto body shop, just sanding vehicles down to get painted. Actually worked with one of the guys that I grew up with, Peter. He was our kitchen coordinator. He came into the Pritis Center and was our kitchen coordinator for a number of months. And now we got different positions. We got a new director. Yeah, he's got a new position. He's a supervisor leader. But yeah, no, after you know, the diagnosis of diabetes, you know, just the whole thought of not being able to do a lot of things, never really getting that confidence of being able to, or just to know that, you know, when you set your mind to what you want to do, you can do anything through Christ. You know, He is our Savior. He gives us the tools, just the knowledge, the wisdom to do what we want to do. And I think that is part of His glory. When we do things that make us happy, it makes Him happy. So we try to focus on the good parts. And being me, being thinking I am the king, I can do anything on my own, well, that's where it's led me to addiction. And, you know, not thinking, or yeah, maybe not thinking, and, you know, diving into marijuana, you know, that was kind of a thing that helped me deal with my diabetes. And, you know, just kind of, you know, putting that where, yeah, you know, just making myself feel good, you know, focusing on myself rather than others. And that was one of those things that I think marijuana kind of led me to, and didn't really care about anybody else. You know, and that kind of went to a point where I got injured at my job that I was working at, a manufacturing plant. Worked there for 19 years, became a supervisor for 11 guys that I was kind of leading, and not much, you know, I never thought I was in a leadership position, but I was the one that had the knowledge to do all that and help the guys that were just learning the trades. From powder coating to a wash bay. It was actually called Wheatland Bins or Meridian Manufacturing. It worked. It was kind of funny. The way I got that job, I never actually applied for the job. My dad, he was a class one truck driver. He was working for the company and decided, hey, you know, these guys are a little light-handed or short-handed. They need some extra workers here. So he pretty much just told me, you're coming to work with me tomorrow. And you're going to work for this company. So how that was actually possible, that's the grace of God, right? He opens these doors where we would never really actually think about going through, but we end up going through these challenges. And so some of the challenges that I've gone through in my life definitely has led me to have the courage to stand up here and let you know that if you're struggling with anything, there is something out there or someone that can lead you into maybe realizing or take a different perspective of how you're actually looking at it. I never thought that I would need to go to an addiction center and, I never even thought that I actually would be able to get addicted to something until when I got my work injury. I was working in the inside of a bin. We needed to wash the inside and the outside of the bins with pressure washers. And, a 3,000 PSI pressure washer has quite a bit of force, but after a number of times where I've washed so many times, I got used to it where I was switching the pressure washer, but this pressure washer has another 4-foot extension. So I switched it from one hand to the next hand and it kind of veered my right hand over and I kind of got a sublux or kind of a torn rotator cuff. Went through a number of surgeries or a number of doctor's visits, got an MRI, and here the hope was always that we can fix it, we can get you surgery, but never happened. So working from the marijuana, trying to numb the pain with that, and that didn't work. So went to a harder substance from cocaine to crack cocaine and pretty much destroyed my core. I went to the doctor, told them it felt like it was I was walking on my intestines. Not a good feeling. It's not possible, but that's where my mind led me to, where I was actually believing that I was actually walking on my intestines, and that just played with my mind. And when my sister finally helped me out, I got to say my family is a great supporter. They're all believers of Jesus Christ, and I've always been a believer too. I just never really focused on that. And I was just speaking with one of the ladies here about one of those things that when we tend to focus on certain things, we got to be careful on what we focus on. I just got to mention the great things that I've realized at Pritis. We actually have a contract with Rona Building Supplies. And every time I have these uncomfortable feelings where I focus on the negatives and feeling uncomfortable with how my intestines are moving or not moving, and I'm trying to hold my breath just to keep them in place, when I do that, it doesn't help, where I'm focusing on just the bad side. And when I go out and I work on these horse shelters that we're building for Rona Building Supplies, I know how to build. I've done many construction and buildings, and when I start focusing on something that I can actually focus on cutting the boards to a certain length, the angles, the 14-degree angle that we need, it gets my mind off of the things that are going on in my body. That when I stop focusing on that and focus on the building, the body does take care of itself. surprisingly or not. It does mend, it does heal. When you cut yourself, you don't have to think, you know, sit there and think this is going to heal. It heals on its own. So as long as we provide it with the nutrients that we need, that we, you know, just your daily meals and whatnot, it's amazing that it does heal the way it heals. But you know, after the whole addiction with the crack and finding out that I can't do it alone, and actually, you know, going into the center and knowing that he is always there, he is here to help us, but we have to ask. And when you don't ask, you don't get the answer. So if you are struggling with something, ask those questions and you will get the answer. So yeah, there's a number of things that we do at Pritis. One of those things is the memory verses. One of the memory verses that I have remembered is, Philippians 1:6 that I mentioned earlier, is something that has definitely given me confidence. But as we were going through the first service, this verse had come to mind. I haven't memorized it yet. But the living sacrifice in Romans 12. I'll just quickly read this few verses here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Thank you.
Good job, John. Good job. Yeah, he might get mad at me, but I don't care. This is just what came to mind. One thing we do at like Teen Challenge, like 4 months in, we like get up and like share our testimony and at the center before we do outreaches. I remember John was so shy, he like froze and he didn't share his testimony. And we were cheering for him, and so to see him go from that to just pushing himself to do something like this, I just see that as really incredible. Praise Jesus. Again, Again, I invite you to join the Journey program as a sponsor for the Teen Challenge Ministry. With the ever-increasing number of people addicted to substance abuse, the need to help them is urgent. Without your help, our ministry to help these people to change their lives by coming to Jesus would be impossible. On behalf of Teen Challenge and our clients, I thank you very much for having us today and giving us this opportunity to share our program with you. I will now turn the service back over to the pastor. God bless you.
Thanks so much, Jesse. Thank you, Dwight and John as well. And just so you guys know, it's normal for you that they clap after you speak. That isn't normal for me, so... Why don't we close the service where we started earlier? Mr. Platt read the first four verses of Psalm 121, and I will finish it. So let's stand together. This will be our closing prayer. If at the end of the service you would like prayer for something, there will be people at the front as well that would be willing to pray with you. Let me pray this over you. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.